One more day. That's the length of a last-minute add-on to the Israel-Hamas ceasefire after negotiations over which hostages in Gaza would be freed. Yesterday, an American teacher was among the 16 released. The BBC's Hugo Bechega is in Jerusalem.
Negotiations continue. The U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, is in Tel Aviv to have meetings and talks about how to extend this truce further and also about how to guarantee the delivery of more aid, much-needed aid, to Gaza.
This morning, gunmen opened fire on people waiting for buses outside Jerusalem. Police say three people were killed, along with two attackers. No word on their affiliation. World leaders are paying tribute to former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, who died yesterday at the age of 100. He was credited with helping to end the Vietnam War.
We have brought them to this point with considerable difficulty and with considerable anguish.
Kissinger was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. But CBS's Margaret Brennan says he had plenty of critics.
His legacy has been dogged by claims of war crimes, having supported murderous dictatorships in Latin America. But over nearly five decades of service, he counseled several American presidents, including Obama and Trump.
The search is still on for seven crew members on board a U.S. military Osprey aircraft when it crashed off the coast of Japan yesterday. The body of an eighth was found right after the accident. Ospreys have been involved in several deadly crashes. Attorney Timothy Loringer represents the family of a soldier killed last year.
The questions have to be asked. What is causing these issues?
Japan says it's suspending its own Osprey flights, and it's asking the U.S. to do the same with its aircraft operating there. A top aide to GOP presidential hopeful Vivek Ramaswamy has left the team to join Donald Trump's campaign. CBS's Jake Rosen.
Brian Swenson and other people familiar with this said that it went amicably. I think it's fair to say that the Ramaswamy campaign itself, though, needs a little bit of a kick in momentum. And I don't think losing a top staffer less than 50 days away from the Iowa caucus is going to do them any favors.
Look who's back on the gridiron.
He's coming out of the game.
Just 11 weeks after surgery for a torn Achilles, Aaron Rodgers returned to practice with the New York Jets. He took part in a series of quarterback drills, jogged lightly. The Jets have 21 days to decide whether to activate Rodgers from injured reserve. S&P futures up 7. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Three former Wisconsin Supreme Court justices advising Assembly Speaker Robin Voss did not violate the state's open meeting laws. That's the ruling from Dane County Judge Frank Remington, who also says American Oversight can keep seeking records from the panel that recommended against impeaching Justice Janet Protasiewicz. New research links emissions from coal-fired power plants to about 500,000 premature deaths in the United States over the past two decades. Karen Gallagher is with Clean Wisconsin.
A lot of wind and solar is being added to the electricity grid every day, which is really exciting to see in Wisconsin, across the Midwest, and it just needs to ramp up faster.
Gallagher's group is working for stricter emission standards in Wisconsin. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy today with highs around 39. West winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 19 tonight. About an inch of snow Saturday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 24.
All right, son. Time to put out this campfire.
Dad, we learned about this in school.
Oh, did you now? Okay. What's first?
Smokey Bear said to.
First, drown it with a bucket of water. Then stir it with a shovel.
Wow. You sound just like him.
Then he said.
If it's still warm, then do it again.
Where can I learn all this?
It's all on SmokeyBear.com with other wildfire prevention tips, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Your soulmate is somebody who, when you get out of the McDonald's drive-thru, she'll do a picklectomy and take the pickles out of my cheeseburger and put extra pickles on hers.
I'm flummoxed, I'm flabbergasted, I'm quacking upset right now.
You're going to defend pickles?
Except for bread and butter pickles, those things are the devil.
Oh, see, now if I were going to try any of them, it would...
Pat! Got,
okay. And this is why Greg and I are not married.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
A tree can be a warrior, battling global challenges with greater courage. A tree can be a solution, cleaning our air, supporting our communities, and protecting our wildlife. A tree can be noble, growing hope in every corner of the world. That's why now is the time for trees. Millions of trees. Join our planting movement at arborday.org.
The morning show on WFHR. It's different.
That's when all of a sudden, if you notice every other Batman costume, the cowl is not attached to the suit anymore.
Right.
And Batman can actually do this amazing
what
thing.
What is over the back fence? Let's say you have a
three-piece children's luggage set.
Or a
Kevin Gordon digital air fryer.
Or a
2019 Cadillac.
For sale. Just call up 424-2600 on Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Describe your item and wait for the calls to roll in. It's your on-air bulletin board only on WFHR.
Did you hear that little snippet, depending on your station, right before the show started, saying you're about to listen to pre-recorded content? Well, this ain't it. I don't know where that came from. It's 6:06 on this Thursday, November 30th. Now, if it's not Thursday, November 30th, and you're hearing this, then yeah, it's pre-recorded content, but not at this particular moment, where it is a beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. By the Civic Media app, podcast, social media, however you got here. Nice to have you here along Lake Wasota on this, I was going to say chilly Thursday morning, but compared to really cold mornings earlier this week, this will be just fine. I've got a question for you. If you could go back to school for something, what would it be? Would it be, you know, literature, some kind of history course, some kind of vocational skill? I know I used to weigh in the past, maybe going back and becoming, say, an English teacher, you know, for elementary and middle school, or maybe learning some writing skills, because the only writing I ever do is based on radio and TV copy or political copy. And I'd love to write a book, but I just don't feel like I have the skill set for that. We'll ask Greg Bach his thoughts about that question in just a sec. But first, from our Chippewa Falls home base, 93.5 The Tap, here's what's on tap from us this morning. We'll discuss not only the value of education, but also the value of having good people in charge of educational institutions. And based on an email uncovered yesterday, it appears Jay Rothman is not someone who should be in charge of the University of Wisconsin system. We'll talk to Joe Zepecki, if that's his real name. And no, we're not done mocking the quote-unquote controversy over secondary emails for government officials. But we'll talk to Joe about really was and was not important in this week's political headlines. You know, like a former president again promising to rip away health care coverage from millions of Americans if he ever got another chance. In our second hour, we're going to talk about the cloud. When we think of the cloud for the internet, you know, we think of what we don't think of maybe are the massive number of computer servers that are located in data centers, and they run hot and they need to be cooled. How do you do that most efficiently and at what cost? As another large data center is planned for the Racine area, which is not that far away from Lake Michigan. We'll talk to journalist Zoe Sullivan about that. We'll visit with Luke Mathers. We'll have the weatherology forecast from Jennifer Wojcicki coming up as well as we start to get the first day of December coming up. I almost didn't want to say it here. But hey, bringing up these temperatures, again, compared to a couple days back, This will be all right. Lake Wissota is at 20 degrees right now. Hayward is 19. Park Falls, 21. In Wausau, it's 23 degrees. Green Bay, 29. La Crosse, 32. Wisconsin Rapids, 24. Oshkosh is at 31 degrees, and it's 32 both in Madison and in Waukesha, where we find Greg Bach. Greg, good morning.
You found me.
I did. All I did was push this button, and I found you.
Ta-da.
That's what we do here, is we push each other's buttons. He pushes a button, and it puts this radio show on a network. I push a button, and he becomes part of that show. So it's magical. How goes the selling of secret email accounts these days? Do you sell those like out of a trench coat?
I have a trench coat within my trench coat. It's a secret trench coat that nobody
secret trench coat
that the right wing the right wing media just found out about and are making way too big of a deal about.
Way too big of a deal, but that's what they do best. And So again, we'll talk to Joe about that. So what would you make of that little question of the day? If you could go back and take either a class or a course in something, and it could be something you want to repeat because you enjoyed it, or something entirely new.
I would actually, I think if it was just for funsies, I'd go back and take constitutional law again.
Oh, that's a great answer.
I love
especially in this day and age.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love taking my law classes in college, and I would go back. It's like, for me, it'd be like rewatching my favorite TV show.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that would be a very good one to do. If I were repeating one, I took one just on the life of Winston Churchill.
Okay.
And it was one of those where you could tell the professor was just all in, that he was a devotee. He, you know, loved everything about him and shared it. And he shared, you know, the warts as well. It wasn't, you know, that glowing, but it was so thorough, and it was nice to see a teacher with such passion. I don't know that that's the one I would necessarily repeat, but, you know, it certainly made an impression on me. Because the others were you know, journalism related. You know, Henry Lippold was a legend at UW-Eau Claire, and it was great to take courses from him. But, you know, I think it's just interesting because we do have an amazing university system here where, you know, people can go and audit courses and things like that. And learning should be a lifelong thing. I certainly learn things here every day.
I agree. I completely agree. We should. I think you get a certain age, you can start auditing classes in the UW system. I'm not positive about that. I feel like I heard someone say that.
Yeah. Again, I'd have to carve the time out, but I'm talking to people who are increasingly. I'm talking to people who are retired, and they're telling me how busy they are. And I told one guy yesterday, I'm like, "You need to stop this. You're supposed to make retirement is supposed to look relaxing for a guy like me who's, you know, 3 to 5 years away from it." And you all talk about how you're busier than ever before. Not good. Just go take a nice little sit in the classroom and learn something. Stop trying to save the world already.
I asked my uncle Tom the same question. He is a very successful businessman. He ran a center up in New York, and after he retired like 3 years ago, every time I talked to him, he's like, "I got board meetings, and I'm flying here, and then I'm doing this thing." And I asked him at Thanksgiving, I said, "When are you going to retire from this retirement?" From
retiring, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he goes, "Yeah, it's got to happen soon."
They say it, but they never seem to make it happen. So if you'd like to answer that question on what class you'd like to take or take over again, you can react to that at 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. You can call it. You can text it. You can call or text from the Civic Media app. You can also email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, as we start to unpack the news. And we're going to start with a story that first appeared in the Daily Cardinal, a newspaper down at UW-Madison, an independent newspaper, and how a reporter there, Liam Barron, got a hold of an email from UW System President Jay Rothman. And I'm going to hasten to add before I get into this that Rothman has since put out a tweet saying that the story has mischaracterized the email. So I want to put that out front because I have to say I don't know how you mischaracterize what this email says. So Liam Barron writes that as the UW system was facing a dire fiscal situation, UW System President Jay Rothman wrote an email that included the suggestion that chancellors consider, quote, shifting away from liberal arts programs to programs that are more career specific, particularly if the institution serves a large number of low-income students. What? He said, somebody who was a low-income student back in the day and who took a liberal arts path toward a journalism degree with political science and communication emphasis. Shift away from liberal arts programs to programs that are more career-specific. There's that mindset again that we hear so often from people on the political right who like to trash talk liberal arts programs as if they somehow have lost their value to humanity, when they most certainly have not. I would strongly urge you to go to dailycardinal.com and read the whole thing, because it's Rothman reacting to some kind of a report. Somebody asks him, what are your impressions of the report? And his email is about 2 pages long and includes 16 different observations, all of them essentially in the same vein that says, times are tough. Tough decisions are going to have to be made. Rip the Band-Aid off. Don't dilly-dally. Make the painful cuts that you have to make. Then, you know, rebuild, you know, smartly. There's some advice in here that, you know, would not be surprising that you would expect, you know, the head of a UW system to say. But it was that point number 13 of those 16. Consider shifting away from liberal arts programs to programs that are more career-specific, particularly if the institution serves a large number of low-income students. Now, again, Jay Rothman wrote on X, Twitter, whatever, "Let me be crystal clear. I have not asked our universities to move away from liberal arts programs. I have repeatedly stated that the liberal arts develops critical thinking and problem-solving skills vital to a knowledge economy and to winning the war for talent. I am a product of the liberal arts, and I am deeply disappointed by the mischaracterization of my communication with chancellors by the Daily Cardinal, both in its egregiously false headline and the framing of its story. The Universities of Wisconsin," his new name for the UW system, "embrace the liberal arts as well as STEM and healthcare programs, and our students study a range of subjects on their way to graduation. That's the way we develop the talent Wisconsin needs." I take most all of that at face value. But first off, when you're attacking journalists, when you're attacking student journalists at your institution, that's not a good look to begin with. The words are right there. The email is actually embedded in the article. Anybody can read it. And I think what he's saying is a mischaracterization is when he says, consider this, it's not a directive. That's true. But you don't tell somebody to consider something if you think it's a bad idea. If you think that there is some validity to the suggestion, then you make it. And he did. And why he chose to lump that in with low-income students is the thing that is especially stuck in my craw that I'm going to get to in our next segment. But first, I want to let you know, at 6:18, a little bit of sports. The UW Badger women's volleyball team hosts the first round of the NCAA tournament starting tonight. They will take on Jackson State. The Badger men's basketball team will host Marquette on Saturday. You can catch that game on locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, News from the Center and Richland Center, and Lake Eyre and Amory. That's again Saturday at 11:30 a.m. The Marquette women's basketball team is now 7-0 to start the season. After beating Memphis last night, 88-59, they'll host Penn on Sunday afternoon. And the Badger women's basketball team defeated Northern Illinois last night, 75-54. They'll host Butler at the Kohl Center on Sunday afternoon. We'll have more in just over 60 seconds wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Thursday morning. When you're here, you're up north. Back in just a bit.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Football season is back, and no matter which home team you root for, there's one thing everyone in the Midwest can agree on. If you're tailgating or grilling at home, nothing beats a freshly baked Village Hearth bun. An old-fashioned hot dog bun is the perfect accompaniment for a brat or a hot dog and all the toppings your little heart desires. And for the best burgers, you just can't beat the Village Hearth classic bun. So head to the store and pick up some Village Hearth buns. The weekend is almost here.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Red Dance Party American Bandstand. This portion brought to you by hospital-tested Nair, the speed hair remover, by delicious Dentine chewing gum, and by Miss Breck hairspray for today's swinging hairstyles. And now here he is, the star of our show, Dick Clark!
Well, there's a little clip from
Thank you, Charlie.
American Bandstand from 1967. And Greg, wouldn't you like to listen to those commercials? Wouldn't you want the hairstyle for, what was it? The hairstyle for swinging couples or something like that?
Yeah, not to mention some of that. Dentine gum and Chesterfield cigarettes. 4 out of 5 doctors recommend Chesterfield cigarettes for that smooth taste. Oh.
So there was 1967. If you're more like me listening to or watching American Bandstand on Saturday mornings in 1977, you heard this theme instead from Barry Manilow.
We're going hopping today. We're things of hopping. A Philadelphia way. We're going to drop it on all the music they play on the bandstand.
And why did we bring all this up? Well, because Dick Clark was born on this day in 1929, so 94 years ago. Dick Clark passed away in 2012 at the age of 82 years after suffering a debilitating stroke, but he was everywhere back in the day, not just on Bandstand, but Pyramid, the game show, the American Music Awards, and the conveniently named Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve, which, Greg, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think they still call it Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve with Ryan Seacrest or something like that.
Yeah, it's Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve with Ryan Seacrest featuring blah, 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 blah. It costs a lot in the graphics department that night. A lot.
It really does. It's a big graphic that they have to make, especially for a guy who has been gone now for, you know, the past 11 years. Oh, but yeah. It just told you what a legend he was. And again, I remember when that first started, the Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve. It was such a departure from Guy Lombardo and the Royal Canadian Mounties or whatever his orchestra was called. The only thing you ever saw on New Year's Eve was big band music.
I didn't know that.
Until about the mid-70s or so. And then Dick Clark's like, why don't we have music from today on, and created this show? And it was, you know, lightning in a bottle. Now that's what everybody has. You know, you don't see something from, you know, decades earlier. And so that was I can see where they would want to tip their cap to Dick Clark for that reason. But man, that was a guy who did not age at all. He always had those boyish looks until way late in life.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
don't forget Television Bloopers with Ed McMahon. That was a fun show, too. Yep.
Yes, there were a lot of shows that Dick Clark Productions created. He did not lack for talent nor money from coming up with these shows. And by the way, speaking of Barry Manilow, saw him last night on NBC. They did their Christmas at Rockefeller Center where they lit the tree.
Yeah.
And Barry Manilow was there performing a song or two because he's got a Broadway musical that he wrote that's coming out. So he's hawking that and still making, you know, TV appearances, singing, you know, in this day and age. And like Dick Clark, looks like he hasn't aged, though his looks a little bit more like he had some help looking that young, shall we say.
I was just having this talk with As Goes Wisconsin host Jane Matinere yesterday about the elective plastic surgeries, and his face looks like it's an imploding star where it's starting to fall into his nose and just starting to be swallowed by, I don't know. Whatever. Do your journey, my friends. Live your life. Yes. I just don't understand it. I don't think I ever will. That's fine. But did you hear that the winds were so strong in D.C. that it actually knocked over the tree?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I mean, that.
It's, oh, all right. I was impressed by nature.
It was. The thing that got me was all the right-wing media that immediately turned it into some kind of a metaphor, which, again, I get political humor. Ha-ha. You know, but.
Well, honestly,
who amongst us hasn't had a tree fall? I had a tree fall over once when Sherry was in residency, one of the toughest times of our lives.
Yeah.
We're sleep deprived. We've got two tiny kids at home. I'm trying to put up the tree after bedtime. It kept falling. I was at the end of my rope. I decided to take 5 minutes, turn on the TV, and it's the end of It's a Wonderful Life. I'm not even kidding. And they're just like, okay, settle down. I can do this.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Christmas. Remember the movie Babe with the pig in it?
Oh yeah.
And remember, there was a character we still use his line to this day. Christmas is carnage. Christmas is carnage. So my sympathies actually go out to the White House Christmas tree folks.
Yeah.
To get us back to the topic of what Jay Rothman had to say in an email. And I first heard about it from Todd Alba. He saw it just a moments before beginning the conveniently named Todd Alba show at noon to 2 here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And so I heard about it at first with about 8 seconds until we went on air. And again, had to absorb this whole notion of, you know, lowering the priority for campuses that serve a lot of low-income students from taking the liberal arts. And Todd asked me my reaction, and I guess I can lay claim to being the first person on this radio network, the first former legislator, the first any kind of semi-public figure to react in this way to Jay Rothman in light of that email. If this is true, if those are your real feelings, you need to resign. You need to step down. If this is how you feel, and again, he tweeted that he thinks he was mischaracterized, but he wrote what he wrote, and to the extent that it has summarized his value on higher education, it renders him not qualified for the job. This is somebody with no higher education experience. His experience was in running a big-time law firm in Milwaukee. And we know that there's a lot of that backwards thinking in big business that believes universities should be nothing more than vocational schools. And it's that lack of appreciation sometimes for the value of a liberal arts education that is especially galling. You know, reactions like that just said to me that Jay Rothman could not get the job done with the legislature, even though he was supposed to be the representative of business thinking. And yet the most important projects for business, like the UW-Madison School of Engineering building and all the other great ways that the UW continues to create jobs, those things continue to be cut by legislative Republicans. And so he didn't get the job done. And so if this kind of thinking, trying to sound like the legislature's most extreme members, that's not going to help your case with them. And I can only hope that from Regents on down, there is a sharp focus on Rothman and whether that is his line of thinking. And if so, those are deficiencies in values that would need him to step aside. Especially for those of us who did come from, you know, low-income families and who have not forgotten our roots and understand that our parents struggled mightily so that we could manage to get some kind of an education through Pell Grants, financial aid, whatever it is that we could afford to try to have a better life. Again, college and a four-year bachelor's degree is not for everyone. I know we hear that over and over again. But there's more to education as well than simply to pigeonhole someone into one career path, a pipeline for whatever jobs happen to be hot right now. We have a real deficiency of cultural literacy in this country. Jay Leno made a career out of it, you know, doing person on the street interviews and showcasing people unable to answer basic questions. These are folks to whom any experience to the liberal arts would have been.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
CBS News Brief. Israel and Hamas have reached an agreement to extend their six-day truce into a seventh day. The BBC's Hugo Bechega in Jerusalem.
The news of this extension was announced just minutes before the ceasefire was set to expire. So I think it shows how difficult, how complicated these negotiations have been.
Former U.S. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger has died at the age of 100.
I don't stand on protocol. If you'll just call me Excellency, we'll be getting...
He was instrumental in ending the Vietnam War. Critics accused him of being a war hawk. Rescue teams still looking for seven crew members on board a problematic U.S. military aircraft when it crashed into the ocean off Japan yesterday. The body of an eighth was recovered. CBS's Elizabeth Palmer.
The governor of Okinawa, that's the island where the main U.S. airbase is located, has said that he's going to ask the U.S. military to suspend all Osprey flights.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
4 Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The head of the Universities of Wisconsin privately suggested that chancellors eliminate liberal arts programs at low-income campuses. That's according to emails obtained by the Daily Cardinal student newspaper at UW-Madison. On September 1st, Jay Rothman told chancellors it would be part of a long-term path to stabilize the UW system's finances. A UW spokesperson says Rothman values liberal arts education. Quick Trip is recalling some fruit that may be contaminated with salmonella. The Wisconsin company and the Food and Drug Administration say the recall is for 3 pre-cup, fruit cup, and tray products. The products use true fresh cantaloupe, which have the potential for salmonella contamination. The fruit cups and trays were also on the shelves at Quickstar, Stop and Go, and Tobacco Outlet Plus stores. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy today with highs around 39. West winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 19 tonight. About an inch of snow Saturday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 24.
Sports allow us to play, learn, and grow. But there's something more important than victory. At the U.S. Center for Safe Sport, we believe every athlete deserves to be safe. Safe from abuse and misconduct on and off the field. We equip athletes, parents, coaches, and others with the right education to recognize, prevent, and respond to harmful behavior. Join the movement to champion respect and end abuse at uscenterforsafesport.org.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
The Todd Almaz Show.
Dave in Minneapolis.
I'm embarrassed to say, but I did vote for Trump the first time. But then after January 6th, I could not vote for him because he is a danger to, I think, us as a country.
Dave's absolutely right. There are foundational things that should transcend partisanship. Right? Democracy, a peaceful transition of power, our veterans.
The Todd Almaz Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Dr. Stork. Eggs are a staple in our diets, and there's only one egg with more delicious farm fresh taste plus superior nutrition. Eggland's Best. With more vitamins, including 6 times more vitamin D and 10 times more vitamin E, plus 25% less saturated fat than ordinary eggs. Available in so many delicious varieties. Classic, cage-free, and organic. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
Badger fans, ring in the holiday season with your Wisconsin men's hockey team. Don't miss out on your chance to cheer on Mike Hastings and the Badgers as they take on Big Ten foes on home ice at the Kohl Center. For more information on Wisconsin men's hockey and to purchase single game tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Hi, I'm Kirsten from Pentatonix. We've all learned how to cope with more time alone. With more time spent isolated or at home, the need for companionship has grown. If you've considered adding a pet to your family, please check with your local shelters and foster organizations. Stray pet numbers have grown immensely over the past several years, and the trauma caused to these animals is devastating. Adopt pets, they need us more than we know. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
That's his real name, Joe Specky. How are you?
As you can see on my screen, today I'm using the name CC Sabathia.
Well, we know Warren Spahn is already taken, so sure, why wouldn't you go with that?
A lot of great Brewers pitchers over the years. We can go through them all. Raleigh Fingers,
yes,
Teddy Higuera, yeah. Juan Nieves. Oh, I should have gone with Juan Nieves. Yeah. Only Brewer pitcher to throw a no-hitter.
And yet Melissa yesterday goes with Steve Young, really? I mean,
well,
I get her roots and everything, but I mean,
it's also a sore spot for me because the only man in the world I'm envious of is, you know, her adoration for Steve Young. But that's a personal problem, and you know, we're working through it.
That's it. That's it. We'll work on it. And look, maybe this will be the last time I, you know, poke a stick at this thing. But I'm going to say again, because as somebody who is, you know, as much an insider as you and I have ever been, that turned into a story versus Robin Voss jetting off to Brazil for the start of a special session still tells me that there are media outlets that, you know, they take the bait too easily.
Yeah, or much less the conversation we'll have after that, which is the leading Republican candidate for president promising that he will, if he gets back into the Oval Office, he's coming after the Affordable Care Act, yes. An actual thing that will impact millions of Americans, as opposed to this nonsense over an email account.
Which,
By the way, the
email accounts, as other people have pointed out, if you want great journalism based on emails, look at, for example, folks have already heard me just, you know, blow a gasket at Jay Rothman for what he said about the UW system and everything. That came from reporting about an email. Right. That's something of consequence. But yeah, let's instead go ahead and move on to, because you do a lot of work with Protect Our Care. And for Trump, who again does not have advisors, and he no longer has anything resembling guardrails. So there was nobody there to tell him last Sunday, I don't think you should put up the social media post about terminating the Affordable Care Act when, you know, you have failed yourself to provide an alternative lo these many years. I cannot imagine, Joe, but this is where you get to correct me, cannot imagine anybody said to him, yeah, I think that's a good thing to put up on social media.
Well, this is the thing, right? Is he has no discipline. He does not listen to anyone. He is irresponsible and he is wrong. He is extreme. And so we have to take him at his word. There is no strategy here, right? He has always wanted to repeal the Affordable Care Act. When he was president, they passed that in the House. But the Senate blocked it. The infamous, or I would say famous, thumbs down from John McCain to say, no, we're not going to do this. And so he didn't get it done the first time. Now he's saying if he gets elected in 2024 and is president, he will, this is his word, quote, terminate the Affordable Care Act. Let's talk about just a couple of the impacts that would have. There are 135 million Americans who have pre-existing conditions. The reason they can get health insurance today is because of the Affordable Care Act. So if you have asthma or diabetes or have ever had a major surgery or an organ transplant or almost anything, you would not be able to get insurance the way you can today. Like, there is no political strategy behind telling 135 million people in this country to pound sand, right? There is no strategy behind telling the 49 million seniors who would see their prescription drug costs go up to pound sand, right? There is no logic to telling the majority of humans in this country, who are women, there are more women than men, that insurance companies can once again charge women more than men simply for being women. Like, so we cannot ascribe this to political strategy, nor should we. The conversation we need to have is every single American needs to know that Donald Trump means it when he says he's coming for your health care. Full stop.
It's true. Now, look, I'm not in the habit of you know, taking on individual you know, love notes that we get from people from time to time. So keep in mind that when I read this email, it's not, we're not going to take care of this person's specific problem. But I do want to talk about the sentiment that is behind some of the criticism of the Affordable Care Act.
Sure.
The email goes like this. Tell me who the Affordable Care Act has helped. Certainly not people making mediocre wages. Our out-of-pocket costs went from $2,500 to $8,500 and our premium doubled. It took out the young 18 to 26-year-olds that would be paying into the system and added them to their parents' premium, and the rest got put squarely on the working class. The whole thing is a pile of something, as we already have Badger Care covering the poor and the underpaid. My son is 30, has cancer, and gets, from the Affordable Care Act, high premiums and out-of-pocket costs. The federal government has never fixed anything, and this is no exception. So my first response is, well, first off, tell us how you really feel. But second, that this is, again, not everybody is going to be touched in the same way by any given policy. And it sounds like there are going to be these individual stories that I think should not get in the way of, you know, what it does for most Americans.
Well, I would take a separate track on that, which first of which is, I'm very sorry to hear about all of that hardship that that individual is experiencing. And I am glad that their son, who is a cancer survivor at 30, it sounds like, is able to be insured at all.
Right.
Because 20 years ago, they wouldn't be able to be insured at all. And the second thing I would say is, no one is saying that the work is done, that our healthcare system is perfect. The point here is that the Affordable Care Act was the first time in generations that the US did anything to improve healthcare in this country. The way this works is you don't get the pony, you don't get everything you want the first time, and the Affordable Care Act has been built on through things like additional, you know, tax credits for those lower income folks who don't qualify for Medicaid. There are states like Wisconsin that still have not expanded Medicaid, leaving money on the table, creating a disincentive to work because people say, well, if I go over and I make, you know, a few more dollars an hour, I'm not going to be able to get health insurance anymore. So no one is saying that the system is perfect. What we are saying is you do not want to go back to the days where your 30-year-old son, who when he gets cancer and gets sick, the insurance company says, well, that's it. We're not going to insure you anymore. We don't want to go back to the days where while that cancer treatment is happening, there is both an annual and lifetime cap in effect where at some point the meter stops running. It is not perfect, but the number of bankruptcies in this country that individuals and families have experienced due to healthcare costs has fallen because of the Affordable Care Act and the things like the American Rescue Plan and Inflation Reduction Act that have built on that. And when you stack up that progress and the things that President Biden and Democrats in Congress are still trying to do to strengthen that law and bring down the cost of drugs that are a big driver of healthcare costs, when you look at that record compared to Donald Trump, who tried to repeal the Affordable Care Act in its entirety during his term in office. And now, as he is the leading Republican candidate and has a decent shot of getting back in there, is saying that if he gets back in there, one of the things he's going to do is unwind all of the progress we've made. So that's the choice. And it's not between a pony and nothing. It's between progress and unwinding progress. And that's what we can't have.
Yeah, I think that's a very nice way of saying something that seems, people seem to have forgotten that, yeah, there were some people who hadn't been denied by insurance companies yet. There were some people that hadn't been dropped by insurance companies yet. And I think that this particular person has been very fortunate, but was only one denial away or one premium increase away from joining the many, many, many others who said, it's about time we took healthcare seriously. And that's what the Affordable Care Act ended up doing.
We have a collective memory problem in this country that, you know, I understand people are frustrated and, you know, we want things to be better. And it is helpful, I find, to occasionally take a step back and think about where we were and the progress that we have made. The Affordable Care Act is progress. Healthcare is better today than it was 20 years ago or 15 years ago before the Affordable Care Act. And the last thing we can afford to do is turn the clock back on this. And I just want to wrap this part of the conversation up with one thing. This was not some offhand, you know, Trump was on the toilet at 2 a.m., you know, and he sends out the social media thing. He has doubled down on this. He was asked about it. He's talked about it again this week saying, no, I meant it. So this is not something where his advisors are going to say, no, actually, sir, you shouldn't do that. He is deadly serious, and that will have deadly consequences for Americans who won't be able to access and afford health care in the way they've been able to since the Affordable Care Act became law.
Which is why you also see Democrats not only amplifying what Trump said, but reminding people of where other Republicans have been on this. Derek Van Orden's campaign website still talks about replacing Obamacare with something, but it doesn't say what after all this time.
Eric Hovde, California banker, who is the most likely candidate to eventually start running against Tammy Baldwin when he ran in 2012, said that would be a priority of his, is unwinding Obamacare. And so, you know, from Ron Johnson on down, the Republican Party is full of people who will go along with this in lockstep and try to end the Affordable Care Act. That will increase costs and make it harder to get access to health care. This country can't afford that.
Campaign news, not for 2024, but for 2025. Former Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel says he's willing to run for state Supreme Court in 2025 when Progressive Justice Ann Walsh Bradley's current term ends. But Joe, we know his campaign positions. He's talked about where he stands on the issues. Doesn't that mean he shouldn't be able to run or he can be impeached as soon as he were to take office?
I see what you did there. listen, if conservatives think the answer to the Dan Kelly problem they experienced in April is let's run Dan Kelly without the cloak, who is already, you know, I mean, like on issue after issue, abortion has already lost a statewide election. Like this is just rerunning the Dan Kelly campaign. The only difference is he doesn't have the what do we call that? I don't want to call it a cape again. There's got to be.
No, I think cape is good because I think there's a photo of that someplace of it billowing in the wind as he's crossing the street near the Capitol here. All right. NBA in-season tournament. Bucks advance to the quarterfinals, whatever that means. What do we think of the in-season tournament so far?
I am just so thrilled that after four decades on this planet, the Bucks have finally won their pool in the first ever NBA playoff, NBA in-season tournament, and are on the march. They're in the Elite Eight, I think we call it. They're one of the eight teams left standing. And, you know, I'm going to tell my grandkids about it. was texting with some friends last night. Telling them we did it. There was a suggestion perhaps we should meet at the Fiserv Forum at about 11 p.m. and riot, you know, light a few cars on fire.
Get some merchandise. I'm sure there's going to be T-shirts, you know.
I did not agree to that plan. And I just, you know, I know your other white guy with a beard from Milwaukee and I are going back and forth without ever actually talking to one another. Dan Schaefer on the Twitter machine in the last 24 hours has acknowledged the problems with the Bucks defense. I'm not here to say I told you so.
No,
I'm just here to say if only someone had suggested that the makeup of this Bucks team might lead to some challenges on the defensive end, maybe we would have been warned that we'd be giving up 70 points and a half to the Washington Wizards in November of this year. But who's to say?
To be continued. Joe Zepecki, a.k.a. CC Sabathia. Thank you so much. Have a good weekend.
You too.
And we'll be back right after this here up north.
Catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
What is the meaning behind Movember?
It isn't just about the mustaches. Movember is meant to raise awareness about men's health, prostate or testicular cancer, or suicide, and also be a reminder to see your doctor. Movember started in Australia in 2003. It's now observed in more than 20 countries. So guys, remember to see your doctor, and however you celebrate this month, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr. From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
I have an unnatural love for this song.
I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road.
The number one album on this day, November 30th, 1968, was Wichita Lineman. This is the title track of that album by Glenn Campbell. And
I love this song.
I know it's part of it's his voice. Yes. I love the strings. I love the bass guitar, the bass solo, or the it's not a bass guitar, but the solo in the middle.
Yeah.
It's down so low.
Just and there's a sadness to it.
Yeah.
But it's not sad. I just
and it's a topic. It's a guy working in an electric service truck going up and down the highway fixing the lines. It's like the least likely thing from which you would get lyrical poetry. And that's, yet there it is.
That's what I love about country music is that you can write a song about this and you're like, my dad was the Wichita Lineman too.
You get a weather report. If it snows, that stretch down south won't ever stand the strain. Oh, we know this, you know? Look at this.
I'm going to get teary. I'm
getting verklempt over here.
All right. Glenn Campbell, we love you and we miss you.
We really do. Let's at the other end of the music spectrum, happy birthday to Billy Idol. He is 68 today. I know most people would go with, you know, White Wedding or Rebel Yell. And as I'm looking through the discography, I'm like, oh, I remember liking this song, Hot in the City. You don't hear it much anymore.
He got some hits on some big covers back in the day.
He did, yeah. Moni Moni, most notably. So, Billy Idol, 68 years old today. We already mentioned Dick Clark was born this day in 1929, passed away in 2012. Director Ridley Scott. You'd think we'd be saying, oh, I'm sure enjoying his retirement because he's 86 today. He gave us Alien. He gave us Blade Runner. Such a long list of movies. But he's working. Napoleon just came out.
It took Martin Scorsese to make Killer of the Flower Moon, Ridley Scott made four movies.
I know. Saw him on CBS Sunday Morning a week or two ago. Not slowing down.
No.
You know?
Still a grumpy old man, too.
Yo, yes, he is. I don't know that I've ever heard a CBS Sunday Morning interview get bleeped as often as that. But, you know, you're talking to Ridley Scott. You gotta take the good with the bad. Let's see. The number one song this day in 1971 was by Sly and the Family Stone. Yeah, this is 1971.
Oh, yeah.
On this day in 1994, Tupac was robbed and shot five times outside a New York City recording studio. He recovered from that one. Not so much one that was later on. Let's see. A little album was released on this day in 1982. And I remember because Christmas of 82, everybody was getting this album by Michael Jackson called Thriller.
Never
seven
heard of
singles,
it. Never heard
seven
of it.
Singles released from the album, like, you know, Billie Jean and, of course, the title track and Beat It. In case you are wondering, Thriller does still hold the title. Greatest selling album of all time. I checked wow. yesterday, the current stat, 51 million certified copies
My
sold.
Gosh.
And second place on that list is AC/DC's Back in Black,
oh.
way down at 30 million. That's how popular Thriller was and continues to be after all these years.
Can I give you a fun factoid about this song?
Go for it.
The guitar playing on this song?
I was just...
Yeah. Okay, you go ahead. You go ahead. Tell the world.
No, I was just about to say, I'm tempted to talk my way through this just so we can hear Eddie Van Halen again you know, doing the guitar solo, who apparently, if you know, I don't know if it's apocryphal, walked in and did it in one take.
And for said, free.
And for free, yes. You know, he was asked a favor. He said, sure. Yeah. Came in, did this, legend, and walked out.
Legend.
Here's another one that, again, you don't know when something's going to be, you know, a legendary issue here. And I see a little note on my screen. If I'm a little glitchy right now from the internet, my apologies. We'll try to stabilize that. But again, things that instantly become a hit that you weren't expecting. Bing Crosby's Last Christmas Special aired on this day in 1977. Now, again, these things are recorded well in advance. He'd recorded it in September and then he died in October. So it was already going to get good ratings. But what people remember about it was that here's Bing Crosby with this relatively, you know, new rocker, David Bowie, and they sing a modified version of Little Drummer Boy.
Can it be years from now, perhaps we'll see.
Because as I recall the story, one or the other, probably David Bowie, thought it wouldn't work as just a straight duet. And so the show's writers just decided to bang out a secondary song to run underneath it.
David Bowie wanted to showcase his singing because
yes.
it's not like a high talent song to sing. But yeah, it's David Bowie and he's amazing. He's one of my favorites, period.
Oh, yeah. It's not so much just that, you know, Derbingle had passed away. It's that it was a very unique song that people were listening to. All right, so that was November 30th, 1977. November 30th is National Computer Security Day. For that, the best way that we're aware to enhance your computer security would be to share your password at 844-967-2789.
That's my password. What?
See, it's Celebrate Shelter Pets Day.
Aww.
It's Meth Awareness Day. Yes, I'm aware of meth. I would not like to be more so.
That was going to be my joke in my head. I'm like, don't say that, Greg.
Yeah, I did. Sorry. It's National Moose Day, as in the dessert, not the, you know, bloop bloop with the antlers on it. No, National Moose, like a chocolate mousse, which is fine. It's fine. It's National Mason Jar Day, which I thought mason jars were kind of like these old stodgy things, but now I'm an old stodgy thing, and I read someplace that it was a better way to keep your fruit from going bad. Like if you only use a few of the strawberries, I used to put like plastic wrap, you know, over the container, and then they'd start to get moldy after a couple of days. No, you put them in a, wash them, dry them, put them in a mason jar. They keep very nicely that way.
And if you're a white lady getting married, they're going to be on your tables.
Like it or not, with some straw in there or candles or what have you. Hey, in our second hour, we're going to be talking about data centers. There's some big ones coming to the Racine area, but data centers in general and the amount of water that it takes to keep them cool. Are we aware of its use and how do we do so properly? That's coming up in the second hour of Up North News Radio for Thursday. Back in a bit.
Oh,
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A last-minute agreement has extended the ceasefire between Israel and Hamas for one more day. It came at the close.